1 Timothy chapter 1, look if you would, starting at verse 18. It says, Paul says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for these folks that have come out today. Lord, it's such a blessing, Lord, to be around Christians and, Lord, to have the Holy Spirit common amongst us. And, Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that as the Word of God is preached, I pray that you'll keep us from any disturbance, Lord. I pray that our minds will be focused on what you have to say to us, Lord, through your Word this morning. Lord, help us as Christians to act upon what we hear. Lord, help us to hear your words, but do something about it, Lord, if that's what you're asking us to do. Father, I pray also that you will encourage those that need encouraging today. I was sitting here, Lord, and listening to the many prayer requests that were made, and Lord, certainly we are thankful for the answered prayer, but Lord, I do pray that each one of those prayer requests, Lord, that you will intervene, Lord, and answer those prayers. We know, Lord, there's nothing impossible for you. And so, Father, I just pray you encourage those folks today that need encouraging. I pray also, Lord, that you'll help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and not just today, but every day. Help us, Lord, to make every day, Lord, a day that we can glorify you in what we do, and help us to grow closer to you and enjoy your word more and more every day. Now, Lord, I pray you have your way during this service, Lord. I pray you'll speak to us, Lord, and tell us what we need to hear, Lord, and help us out this morning, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. On April 10th, 1912, the RMS Titanic left her berth at the harbor in Southampton, England. This was the maiden voyage of this 888-foot-long ocean liner that had been billed as unsinkable. In fact, one of the designers of the Titanic made the statement, "This ship is so unsinkable that God himself could not sink it." She carried with her 2,228 passengers and crew. Most of the passengers had paid thousands of dollars to sail on the great luxury liner. 4 days into the voyage, on April 14th, 1912, severe ice warnings were received from the area through which the Titanic was going. These warnings were ignored, and the Titanic maintained her course for New York Harbor. At 11:40 p.m., the Titanic struck an iceberg on the starboard side of her bow. She began to take on water at an alarming rate, and within 3 hours, the Titanic and 1,523 of her passengers were at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. Only 705 of the original 2,228 persons survived that great shipwreck. Since 1912, people have tried to figure out what happened to bring about the demise of the ship, called unsinkable. Most people would agree that tragedy was a mixture of many things, including negligence, apathy, greed, pride, and incompetence. In other words, the tragedy could have been avoided had all the proper steps been taken by the captain and crew of the Titanic. But since those steps were not taken, a tragic loss of life occurred on the cold night in the North Atlantic. Of course, Titanic is just one of the main, famous shipwrecks. We could talk also about the Andrea Doria, the Lusitania, the Edmund Fitzgerald, other shipwrecks that are of fame. All these tragedies are tragedies that should never have happened. Now, the facts behind the great shipwrecks of history makes for a pretty fascinating study when you start to read how these ships went down and what caused these ships to go down. But you know, shipwrecks don't always happen at sea. In fact, most shipwrecks actually occur on dry ground. And our text speaks about a potential spiritual shipwreck that could happen to any Christian in this room. You know, it's a great thing when churches preach about sin and warn people of sin. Amen? In fact, I think that's probably one of the things that's missing in many churches today is the preaching on sin. It seems like a lot of people want to preach about how good we are on the inside and being our best self and all this stuff, but not many people want to preach about sin, and we understand why that is. I mean, let's just cut to the chase. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen? And there are a lot of people today that refuse to preach on sin because they're afraid that somebody in there thinks that you're preaching to them and they're going to up and leave, and therefore they won't be tithing anymore in the church. And so therefore they just refuse to preach on sin in many cases. In fact, you can kind of see the results of all that when you take a look at the average Christian today and see how the average Christian thinks and how he acts and stuff like that. You can tell that it's not been a lot of preaching on sin in churches. And so certainly that's a subject that should be preached on a lot, to warn people about sin and warn people about the different sins. But may I tell you also that something that needs to be preached on from time to time is the consequences of sin. And certainly today when we're looking at this subject of spiritual shipwreck, that is a consequence of sin. Now, in the Bible here, we're told that in fact, Paul names two men in the early church who had experienced this type of spiritual shipwreck, and their names were Hymenaeus and Alexander. Now, most of us will never be involved in a shipwreck at sea. However, the possibility does exist for anybody in this room to experience spiritual shipwreck. And may I tell you, in some ways, it's actually more catastrophic than actually going through a physical shipwreck at sea, because it can affect you in so many different ways and affect the people around you in so many different ways. You say, well, what do you mean by spiritual shipwreck? What are we talking about when we're talking about spiritual shipwreck? Well, when we speak about spiritual shipwreck, we're talking about when a believer gets backslidden to a point to where God can no longer use him the way God wanted to use him to begin with. And when God puts a believer on the shelf, so to speak, he does that until that believer gets right with God. The truth of the matter is there are a lot of people that are spiritually shipwrecked that never get right with God, who are saved and they allowed sin to get in their life and they got backslidden, and rather than doing what God told them to do in the scriptures and confess those sins and get right with God and ask forgiveness of those sins, that person decided that they were just going to stay in those sins, and now God can't use those people anymore. God has put them on the shelf and they are what we call spiritually shipwrecked. Now, I'd venture to say that all of us know someone who's spiritually shipwrecked today. Someone who God used to do his work in the past. Maybe it was a song leader. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. This person was faithful in church and serving the Lord. And he used to serve the Lord. He used to go to church. He used to read his Bible. He used to pray. But now he's spiritually shipwrecked. He's put on the shelf and he's not serving the Lord. And the Lord's not using him anymore. Where the Lord once used him greatly, now the Lord's not using him at all. And so no doubt everybody in this room could think of somebody or some person who once walked with the Lord and have now made shipwreck of their spiritual walk. Shipwrecks are to be found all around, folks. And there's nobody in this room that is immune to the possibility of being spiritually shipwrecked. And what we need to remember this morning is spiritual shipwrecks don't just happen to the other guy. It can happen to anybody, any Christian. No one in this room is immune to the possibility that we could fall to sin, that we could fall to the temptation of sin and make shipwreck of our lives. Now, we know that there's no way that you could possibly lose your salvation. We know that. But that doesn't mean that you can't fall to the point to where God's not going to use you like he would have used you. That doesn't mean that you can't get to the point where you're spiritually shipwrecked in your life. That's the reason why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Because all of us can go through this. Anybody in this room could do that. You know, you think about the Titanic. Remember that guy said, this ship's so unsinkable that even God couldn't sink it. Isn't it something? On the very first voyage, it goes out there and sinks. I tell you this, folks, when we start to think that we can't fall, that's when we're in danger of falling. When we start to think that the devil can't get to us, that's when the devil will get to us. You see, we have this thing called pride, and we think we can handle everything that comes into our lives. We think we can handle the temptations of the devil under our own power. But what happens is we end up falling. So Paul says, take heed lest you fall. The truth is, our lives do not have to end up badly from a spiritual perspective. We do not have to be shipwrecked in our walk with God. And so here in this passage that we read, our opening text, we see some facts revealed that will help us avoid a spiritual shipwreck. And not only will it help us to avoid spiritual shipwreck, but if you're here this morning and you are in a spiritual shipwreck, it'll help you get out of it too. You see, you don't have to remain spiritually shipwrecked. You don't have to remain that way as a Christian. You can still serve the Lord, and the Lord can still use you. And so the first fact that's revealed in these verses that we read this morning are obviously that spiritual shipwrecks are a reality. Now, it's pretty obvious that they're a reality because Paul talks about it. And there in verse 19, Paul says, holding the faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. And as I pointed out, Paul calls out two men who had been spiritually shipwrecked. Their names are Hymenaeus and Alexander. Now, we don't know too much about these men. I mean, when you start to read the Bible, you won't find a whole lot written about them. And when you do find out things are written about them, you don't see a whole lot of positive written about them. But we do know that it became a problem for Paul, that it became a problem for the early church. And this is revealed over in 2 Timothy, where it said that Hymenaeus began to teach false doctrine. Now, hold your place here and turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to show you what the Bible says here in the book of 2 Timothy about Hymenaeus and Alexander. And remember, Paul over here talked about how they had been shipwrecked. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is writing to Timothy here, second letter. And he says, starting in verse 16, he says to Timothy, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So Hymenaeus here was teaching false doctrine. He taught that the resurrection of the dead or the rapture had already happened, and his teaching had a negative effect on the faith of some of the believers. Can you imagine today if I got up here and started preaching from this pulpit that the rapture's already happened and you're left behind? Wouldn't that be an uplifting message? Amen. I mean, here we are. We're looking forward to meeting the Lord in the air. Amen. And for me to say, listen, it's already happened, and we're just here and left behind. You say, oh, no, not teach that. I've actually heard somebody teach that. I remember one time I was at a church, and I got done locking up, and there was this fellow who had kind of walked from church to church. And by the way, I'm just going to let you in on a little secret here. It was really not a secret, but we've been having a lot of people come to this church. And, of course, we've been beating them out here at the door. But there's some people around here that got some serious problems mentally. Because they come right here to this door and they start talking all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, we had one this morning that came in here and said that he lives out in somewheres in the Bitterroot and there's witches all around him, and they had to sneak out just to come to church to tell us about it this morning. Okay? So things like that are happening. But can you imagine if a preacher got up here and started to preach nonsense like that? I remember one time I went to a church, where I was being trained, and I just locked the door, and I was getting ready to leave, and there was a guy sitting there who had visited church that morning, and when I started to talk to him, he said this. He says, the rapture's already happened, and America's the Antichrist, and you're here. And now you're living in this. He was basically teaching the same thing that Hymenaeus was teaching. False doctrine. And so Hymenaeus here, he's teaching all these things, and I can't imagine how people must have felt when he started to teach those things, but what he was teaching was false. And Paul clearly said here that Hymenaeus and Alexander were made spiritually shipwrecked. Because here Hymenaeus, he taught false doctrine. Well, what did Alexander do? We'll turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'll show you what he did. Now, Hymenaeus here, he taught false doctrine. He was teaching something that was wrong. He was negatively affecting the faith of other people. But what about Alexander? What did he do? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 14. It says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, Paul says. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Now we're told here that Alexander refused to obey the word of God. Remember this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And here Paul is, he's speaking, and when he speaks, those are God's words, and that when it's being written down, that's scripture. And so he's speaking these words, and Paul's teaching, And we're told here that Alexander refused to obey the word of God. In other words, he chose not to obey the word of God. He chose not to live right. And Paul clearly said that both Hymenaeus and Alexander were made spiritually shipwrecked. So the first fact that we see in our opening text this morning is that spiritual shipwrecks are a reality. It is possible for anybody in this room to believe false doctrine and start to teach false doctrine. It is possible for anybody in this room to all of a sudden start reading that Bible and just quit doing what it tells you to do. It could happen to any Christian in here. You say, oh, I'm way too spiritual for that. You're already on your way if that's what you think. Amen? When we start to think highly of ourselves, more highly we ought to think of ourselves, that's when we get ourselves in trouble. What we need to do is humble ourselves and stay in the book and believe that book and do what that book tells you to do. Amen? That's what we're supposed to be doing. And so Paul's here. He shows us that spiritual shipwrecks are a reality. Another fact that we see here in our opening text is the reasons that spiritual shipwrecks happen. Look, if you would, at verse 19. It says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Paul tells us that the reason these two men suffered shipwreck is because they put away the faith. They turned from truth to error. In the case of Hymenaeus, it would appear he rejected the true teaching of the faith and embraced false doctrine. For Alexander, he chose not to listen to God. He chose not to obey God and began to work against the things of the Lord. And both wound up where they were because they changed truth into error. They chose error over truth. Now, the same thing happens to Christians today. For whatever reason, some people who profess to be Christians will abandon the truth and embrace error. Also, for whatever reason, some Christians will turn from living godly lives and choose to live like the world. And they'll do it to the point where God will no longer use them the way God wanted to use them. It's almost like they don't even care that they are not being used by God like they once were. It's almost like they don't even want to think about what God could do with them and could do with their lives and the people that could be affected and how God could get the glory. They would actually rather choose to live wrong and choose to live like the world and not do what the Bible tells them to do. Now, you got to remember this too. This move from truth to error is not made immediately. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I think I'll just throw away my testimony and throw away my influence today. I think I'll just get out of the will of God today. Nobody does that. Nobody just wakes up and says that. You say, well, then how does it happen? How does it happen that a person could get to the point to where they start to sin and then they start to harbor that sin and then they get out of the will of God and the next thing you know they're in a spiritual shipwreck. How does it happen? Well, it happens pretty subtle, actually. You know, the Bible says that the devil is more subtle than the other creatures. Everything he does is subtle. You know, you'll notice that when you see the things in this world, you know, we look at today and how things have changed and how people think and the things that people do. And if you're like me, you watch the news and you hear people talk and you say, how do we get this bad? Amen? I mean, when you're watching that, that's kind of what you're thinking when you're watching the news. How do we get this bad? Well, listen, it hasn't always been like this. Here last week, we had old-fashioned Sunday. And we started to think about how things used to be and how things have changed so much in the last 50 years, how things have changed so much in the last 10 years. But you know, what happened was is it subtly changed. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, and it was a subtle thing. Listen, it isn't like all of a sudden yesterday, you know, that there were people coming to church more than they ever have been before, and people were out in camp meetings, and all of a sudden today nobody's interested in going to church and everybody's living wickedly. Listen, that didn't happen overnight. It was a subtle thing. A little bit here and a little bit there. You know, it's the same way when you think about some of these shipwrecks. It didn't just all of a sudden happen. Things had to be in place. Different things had to happen in order to make the tragedy happen at the end. And so we need to understand that these things, the devil is very subtle in what he does. And when a person becomes spiritually shipwrecked, it isn't like all of a sudden he was serving the Lord faithfully yesterday and he's spiritually shipwrecked today. It doesn't happen like that. It's a process of events. See, he was serving the Lord like he was supposed to. He was faithful to God, but then he started to allow some sin in there. And not confessing that sin. And he started to compromise a little bit in this part of his life, and compromise a little bit in that part of his life. And then each time, it, a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. And so all of a sudden, he's shipwrecked. He's a castaway. Nothing happens, you know, something like that just doesn't happen overnight. We fall away because we allow sin to go unchallenged in our lives. We fall away when we seek to rationalize our sins in our backslidden condition. We fall away when we begin to allow ourselves loopholes to sin. He said, I don't believe that people do that. I hear people all the time, I shouldn't say all the time, but sometimes I hear people say, well, you know, that's technically not a sin. That's called trying to find a loophole. If you have to say, well, now that's technically not a sin, you're looking for an excuse to do it. That's what you're doing. And so what we do is, We begin to fall away when we begin to allow ourselves loopholes for sin. And it happens very subtly. In fact, the movement away from God is almost hardly unnoticeable. But before long, the backslider is miles away from the Lord, and he has become shipwrecked. And you know, when it comes to ships, sometimes the tragedy to those ships are when they allow to drift. That's usually when something bad happens. Or when they're overloaded. That's what happened to the Edmund Fitzgerald. It was overloaded. Sometimes the neglect of the ship is the cause of tragedy. If you don't take care of it, if you don't keep the corrosion off of it, things like that. Or not taking care of torn sails or broken rudders. All those things could lead to tragedy. And may I tell you, as Christians, we need to pay attention to the little things in life. You know, the things when we read in the Bible and we think, well, you know, that's not that big a deal. That's not that major. Well, yes, it is, because we got to take care of it. If we don't, we're going to head for tragedy. There are ships, listen, if they didn't take care of the rudder, all of a sudden the rudder would break. What's going to happen the first storm? It's going to have a big crash. Amen? That's when we need to take care of the little things in our life. When we read something, the Lord says, now, we ought to do this and we ought not to do that. You need to make sure that you do those things he tells you to do and not do those little things he tells you to do. And those little things like saying, well, you know, the Bible says we're to confess our sins. I'll do that tomorrow. No, do it today. Because if you don't do it today, you know what will happen. Come tomorrow, you won't do it either. And the day after that, you won't do it either. Pretty soon, you're harboring sin. Pretty soon, you're starting to enjoy that sin. Pretty soon, you're backslidden, and after a while, you're shipwrecked. You see, we need to take care of the little things. What are you tolerating in your life that needs to go this morning? Where have you slacked up in your Christian walk? What have you ceased to do? Those things will lead to shipwreck if we're not dealt with. Spiritual shipwrecks are a reality. There are also reasons that spiritual shipwrecks happen. But I also want you to see here that according to these verses, being spiritually shipwrecked has serious consequences. Look again, starting at verse 19. It says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now we're told here that these two men were delivered to Satan. You say, well, what in the world is this talking about? Well, then and now, this is the most extreme punishment available for church people who went away from the Lord, who lived an open sin. In effect, they were put out of the church. Okay? Now, the Bible tells us, it has certain things in the Scripture that tells us to do this and how to do it if the time ever comes. I'm just going to tell you that it's something that I hope I never have to see. It's so much easier just people just live right and do what the Lord tells them to do and to grow in the faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when a person begins to live in open sin and he's in the church and everybody knows he's living in open sin, he's doing things wrong, Paul says there's a procedure that you're supposed to do to get him outside the church. Now you can read about that over 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, if you remember, there was a man in the church at Corinth who was committing fornication, open sin, in the church. And Paul said, get him out of the church. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You need to get him out. And so what does that mean? Well, that means that they are to put him outside the church until he gets right with God. until he gets right. And so they put him out of the church. And then eventually, when you read 2 Corinthians, he did get right with God. And Paul said you need to welcome him back in. Welcome him back in as a brother and forgive him and move on. That's what we're supposed to do too. Now you say, well, that's back in those days. No, it's today too. If it comes down to that, that's something we do. Hey, there is a reason why that we send out letters. When somebody joins this church, we send a letter out to their church and find out if they're in good standing. Because if they've been put outside their church, we don't want them to come over here because it's until they get right with God, not until they join another church. How many of you understand that? That's the reason we send out letters to these churches, to make sure that they're right, to make sure they're in good standing. But that's what Paul's talking about here. He's saying that Hymenaeus Alexander, he said, I've delivered them to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. You say, well, what's he talking about? He's talking that he put them outside the church. And you say, well, how is that delivering him to Satan? Because when you're put outside the church, you're no longer in a church where you have fellowship with other Christians. You're no longer in a church where you're getting preached to and you're growing. When you go, listen, folks, that right there is one of the passages in the Bible that should make everybody want to come to church. You ever think about that? When he's talking about putting somebody outside the church until they get right with God, Paul calls it delivering them unto Satan that they learn not to blaspheme. What does that tell you about somebody who chooses not to go to church? Who are they in the danger? Who are they in danger of being tempted by an awful bad? The devil. You see, listen, I'm not telling you that you got to go to church in order to not be tempted, because you're going to be tempted whether you go to church or you don't. But what I am going to tell you is this: if you choose not to come to church and you decide to skip church all the time, may I tell you, you're putting yourself in danger. Because out there, you don't have the preaching of the Word of God. Out there, you don't have the fellowship of a church family. Out there, you don't have people praying for you left and right. Here you do. And so that's something we need to understand. That's what Paul is saying right here. He said, deliver them to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. He was talking about putting them outside the church. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, when he was talking about the man who committed fornication in the church, here's what he said about him. He says, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. These men were no longer in the protective umbrella of the church. They could no longer come to church and be around their church family. They could no longer enjoy the fellowship of those at church. They had been delivered unto Satan's hand to teach them humility, love of God, and obedience to the Lord. But that was the least of their problems. You see, nobody sins in a vacuum. Your sins have consequences, and those consequences are that you'll reap what you sow. When a believer allows his life to become shipwrecked by sin, chastisement is assured. Death is even a possibility. He's like, I don't believe that. Listen, we all believe every word of that Bible, amen? Now you read over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it starts talking about when you partake of the Lord's Supper and you're not worthy. It talks about how the Lord will judge a person, a Christian, for doing that. How the Lord will chasten a person for doing that. And he says this, for this reason some sleep among you. Now he ain't talking about catching a catnap over here in the corner. He's talking about people that died. You realize that the Lord can chasten you to the point where he takes you out here. Amen? Now listen, that's a possibility if you become spiritually shipwrecked. And besides that, there's a loss of testimony. There's a loss of influence. One's usefulness in the Lord's work is taken away. That was Paul's fear. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said this, but I keep under my body and bring it in subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let me tell you how you become a castaway. Something has to happen to your ship. Amen? I mean, you think about a person that's a castaway on a deserted island. He didn't beam himself there. His ship went down and he washed on shore. He's spiritually shipwrecked. He's castaway. And Paul says here, he said this, I don't want to be a castaway. Whatever it takes, I don't want to be a castaway. I want to be used of God. And listen, Paul feared being a castaway. Paul feared being in shipwreck. And we should fear the same thing. If you're shipwrecked here this morning, is your condition really worth all that it's costing you? Is it worth not being able to have your prayers answered? Is it worth not having the influence with your family and friends and co-workers? Is it worth the immense spiritual cost that it's costing you this morning? If you think that being spiritually shipwrecked is okay, if you think that it's worth losing all of that, then continue on living like you're living. Just keep on living that way if you think it's worth it. And keep on doing what you're doing. But you better understand there's going to be some serious consequences that you're going to have to face for being spiritually shipwrecked. The Bible says that God is not mocked, folks. God means to use his children. God means for his children to be obedient too. How many of you understand that this morning? Let me ask you something. If your children got to the point to where they just absolutely will not do what you tell them to do, would you be happy and say, okay, well, if you're just going to decide not to do what I'm going to do, that'll be okay, honey. You just come on. Let's just move on. No, you wouldn't. You're not going to let them get by with it, are you? If your children are just being disobedient and they get to a point where they won't do what you ask them to do, eventually you're going to put your foot down and you're going to turn up the heat a little bit, aren't you? That's what the Lord's going to do too. You know why? Because he's a better parent than anybody in this room. He knows how to raise people better than anybody in this room. And so if you're here this morning and you no longer want to be shipwrecked and you're wanting to never be shipwrecked, Paul has basically four steps here that will help you recover from spiritual shipwreck if you're suffering from one. And it will help us avoid spiritual shipwrecks if we haven't suffered one yet. And the first step that Paul talks about here is this. Now listen, he's saying if you want to avoid ever being spiritually shipwrecked, or if you want to get out of the spiritual shipwreck that you're in right now, the first thing that you do, it'll involve obedience. Look at verse 18. Paul says to Timothy, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy." Paul tells Timothy here he's giving him a charge. In other words, Paul is telling Timothy that he has a responsibility to obey what Paul's getting ready to tell him to do. Timothy has a duty to listen and carry out the orders of what Paul tells him to do here. And the same is true for us as believers. The first step in walking with the Lord as we should lies with our willingness to obey the Word of God. Amen? Now, the truth of the matter is this. You can read the Bible all you want to, but if you don't plan on doing what the Bible tells you to do, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. You must do what the Bible tells you to do. We must be obedient. In fact, as Christians, we have a mandate to be obedient to the Lord. So if you're shipwrecked this morning, and you want to, or if you want to avoid being shipwrecked this morning, the first step you must do is obey the Word of God. Do what it tells you to do. In other words, don't keep on looking for loopholes. Don't keep on trying to justify your sins. Instead, repent of your sins and confess those sins to the Lord. That's what the Bible tells you to do. How do you get yourself out of spiritual shipwreck? Just do what the Bible tells you to do. Obey the Word of God. Where's your life in relationship to the Word of God this morning? First step, obedience. Second step that's required has to do with believing. There in verse 18, it says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee." Paul reminds Timothy of the prophecies that had been issued concerning his life. Prophecies, no doubt, of his success and blessings in the ministry. Timothy was to believe those scriptures. He was to believe those promises. Now, if you and I have been the object, we've been object of prophecy as well. You say, well, what do you mean we've been objects of prophecy? Well, when you read the Bible, how many of you understand when you read that Bible, it's kind of like God's letter to you. In fact, I'm just going to tell you, when you're reading the Bible, a good thing to do is take everything it says and apply it to you personally. Because really, it's God speaking to you through his word, so really that's what's happening. The same way when Paul said, "I charge thee, Timothy, to do whatever," it's like the Lord saying, "I charge you, Bob Crowder, to do whatever." You see, you want to make it personal to you. And so, we have prophecies concerning us. In other words, there are things in there that's written to us, about us, and for us. For example, we have been told as Christians that we are more than conquerors. Romans 8:37 says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." We've also been told that we can constantly walk in victory as Christians. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We've also been told that our faith in Lord Jesus Christ is our key to overcoming everything in this life. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Faith in who? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember that we've been given what it takes to overcome temptations. We've been given what it takes to remain steadfast in the Lord. Well, we do not have to remain shipwrecked. We don't have to be a castaway. We just need to believe that what the Word of God says about us, and believe that through God's power we can overcome whatever the devil throws at us. Do you really believe that we're conquerors this morning? That's what the Bible says. Do you really believe that we can get the victory this morning? That's what the Bible says. If you're shipwrecked this morning, you must believe that. There are a lot of Christians that they just give up and they say, "Well, you know, I tell you something, it just drives me nuts. Is when a person messes up, when a person sins, and they say, "Well, I'm just an old sinner." Yeah, all of us are. Amen? But that doesn't mean we have to live like one. It doesn't mean that that's some sort of an excuse not to live the way the Lord wants us to live. Yes, we're all a bunch of sinners, but to try to use that as an excuse, that's horrible. Listen, if you're one of those people that say, "Well, I just mess up because I'm an old sinner," get over it and start living for the Lord. So we need to remember that everything the Bible says is true. We need to believe every word that Bible is true. And if you'll do what the Bible tells you to do and believe every word, you can get out of the spiritual shipwreck that you're in. You can also avoid being in a spiritual shipwreck. Another thing, and that is remembering the war that we're in. That'll help you too. Verse 18 again. "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." In Sunday school, we're talking about putting on the whole armor of God, how that we are in a spiritual battle, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places and principalities and powers and those type of things. And we know the devil is our adversary. Listen, folks, whether we want to admit it or not, we're all in a war, and it's not just me in a spiritual battle. You're in that spiritual battle as well. We need to remember, if you're spiritually shipwrecked today, you need to remember this, is that you're in a spiritual battle, and you may be spiritually shipwrecked, but your brothers and sisters in the Lord are in a spiritual battle too, and they need you. They need your prayers. They need your encouragement. They need your edification. That's what they need. Listen, there are people today, you were here, when you heard this morning, you heard that those prayer, did you notice how many people requested prayer? You know why that is? Well, it's because the truth of the matter is all those problems are a result of sin in this world. And so we all face these problems of sickness and death and ailments and all these different things going on in our life. We all face these things. And we all need prayer about these things. And I'll tell you something, if you've gotten spiritually shipwrecked and you've gotten to the point where you're backslidden, and you get to say, "Well, I just don't care. I'm going to live any way I want to." You better remember this. We're still in a war, and your brothers and sisters need your prayers. Amen. There are people today that need you to be praying for them. They're counting on you to pray for them. And how dare us leave other soldiers behind? You know, when we start to celebrate Memorial Day, and we start to celebrate 4th of July, we start to think about our soldiers. We start to think about some of those people that were left behind. As Christians, we don't need to leave any soldiers behind. We need to pray for all of them. Amen? You get shipwrecked, you're not helping out your brothers and sisters in Christ very much. You know why? Because the Lord isn't hearing your prayers. The Lord's not answering your prayers. You see, you've got to be in fellowship with the Lord for Him to hear your prayers and answer them. And if you're spiritually shipwrecked, you're not right with God this morning. He's not hearing your prayers. So in order to recover ourselves from spiritual shipwreck or avoid spiritual shipwreck, we have to be obedient. We have to believe. We have to remember we're in a war. And then finally, if we're going to avoid becoming spiritually shipwrecked, we must remain faithful. Look at verse 19 again. Paul says, holding faith and a good conscience. Paul reminds Timothy of the value of a good conscience. We all know that when we go against our conscience, we experience guilt and shame and remorse and doubt and insecurity. But what we don't realize is that following our conscience may be one of the biggest mistakes that we could ever do. is following our conscience. You know, many people today that feel that conscience is given to us to teach us the difference between right and wrong. That's the way a lot of people think today. They say, well, when I did this, I felt bad about it, and so therefore it must be wrong. And well, that right there, I felt pretty good about it, so therefore it must be right. May I tell you that you are making a mistake this morning if you think your conscience is what's telling you what's right and wrong. Because your conscience can be seared. Listen, there are people today that are doing things that Bible says are dead wrong, and they don't have any feelings about it at all. They could care less. Amen? You know what that tells you? That tells you your conscience is not a good meter to tell you what's right and wrong. You say, what is the thing that tells us that what is the difference between right and wrong? It's the Word of God. And what that conscience is, the conscience is the thing that you have that when the Word of God tells you what's right or wrong, and then all of a sudden you do that which is wrong, that's when all of a sudden you start to feel bad about it. In other words, it's not the conscience that's directing you between right and wrong. It's just letting you know that what you did, you know, it makes you feel bad when you do wrong. It makes you feel okay when you do right. Simply put, it's dangerous to operate on feelings apart from the leadership of the Word of God. That's a recipe for disaster. A life that's not centered in the Word of God has no spiritual framework to guide its conscience. Therefore, if you do what you think is right based on your conscience without the fear of the Word of God, you'll be headed straight for shipwreck. We need to base our lives and guide our consciences with the Word of God. In 1912, the world was amazed at the RMS Titanic. She was the most spectacular boat afloat. Handsomely appointed and decorated with all the best the world had to offer, people believed that she had the potential to return for years of faithful service to her passengers and mountains of money to her owners. She was going to make lots of money. Yet because of the errors, some small and some large, she became a shipwreck. And when she sank, she took many innocent lives with her. I'll just point out real quick that if you become spiritually shipwrecked, don't you think it's only going to affect you. You're going to take people with you. Maybe it's your kids. You say, what are you talking about? When their kids see dad or mom get spiritually shipwrecked, and they see that dad and mom really don't care about going to church or reading their Bible or praying, don't be too surprised those kids grow up and they're not praying and going to church and reading their Bible either. You see, that spiritual shipwreck took down people with them. Other people become casualties. People in this church, listen, today you get spiritually shipwrecked and all of a sudden you quit coming to church, don't you think it's not going to have an impact on somebody? You'll take people with you. We need to make sure, folks, that we take care of the little things. Make sure that we're faithful. Make sure we believe the Lord. Make sure we remember that we're in a spiritual battle. And make sure we remain faithful. So that way we can avoid being spiritually shipwrecked this morning. Are you spiritually shipwrecked this morning? Are you getting close? Are you neglecting parts of your life that need to be taken care of? Let's stand.